This audio course is brought to you by Shepherd's Global Classroom, a ministry that exists to equip the body of Christ by providing curriculum for rising Christian leaders around the world. For a digital or print copy of this study, complete with study questions, assignments, and tests, please download the free Shepherd's Global Classroom app to your iOS or Android device, or visit our website at shepherdsglobal.org. Thank you for listening.
A Theology of Suffering. Course Overview. This course addresses suffering in the Christian life from two perspectives, a biblical view and a pastoral view. The course is intended to prepare pastors to minister to believers who are enduring physical, emotional, or spiritual pain. Lesson 1. Introduction. Lesson Objectives. By the end of this lesson, the student should, number 1, recognize both wrong and right responses to suffering. Number 2, identify false beliefs that make suffering more difficult. Number 3, understand how suffering fits into the overall story of the Bible. Introduction. Michael was a faithful husband, a loving father, and a deacon in his church. At the age of 55, he suddenly lost his ability to control his limbs, to think clearly, and to communicate verbally. Doctors could find no cure. Michael can no longer care for himself or provide for his family. His wife still asks, "Why is God allowing my husband to suffer?" Dave operated a ministry in an Asian country. He had carefully built good relationships with local officials and was well respected in the community. But during a government crackdown, Dave's ministry was forced to close. Eventually, he and his family fled to another country for safety. They sometimes ask, "Why did God permit wicked officials to close our ministry?" Before their wedding, Phil and Janet pledged that they would serve as missionaries. But shortly after their marriage, Janet was killed in a tragic accident. Phil wonders, "Why did God take my wife from me?" Each of these believers has suffered terrible pain. It is easy to ask, "Why, God? Why do you let your people suffer such heartache?" Both believers and unbelievers struggle with the problem of suffering. Skeptics list suffering as one of the biggest reasons they doubt the reality of God. Believers find it hard to understand how a loving and all-powerful God can allow innocent people to suffer. Pastors often hear questions such as these: "How can a loving God let innocent babies suffer? If I become a believer, will God heal my cancer? If God is good, why do so many wicked people get rich while godly people live in poverty? Is my sickness God's punishment for my sins?" Our struggles are not new. People in the Bible faced similar struggles. Asaph confessed, "My feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Psalm 73:2-3. Job was a righteous man who suffered greatly. When he saw wicked people living comfortable lives, he asked, "Why do the wicked live, reach old age, and grow mighty in power? Their houses are safe from fear, and no rod of God is upon them." Job 21:7-9. Habakkuk questioned God's justice. "You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he?" Habakkuk 1:13. Jeremiah complained, "Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive?" Jeremiah 12:1. These scriptures show that suffering has always raised difficult questions. This course will not answer every question about suffering. Instead, it has 4 main goals. Number 1, to explain some reasons believers suffer. Number 2, to provide a biblical response to different types of suffering. Number 3, to equip pastors to minister to people who are suffering. Number 4, to encourage pastors and church leaders who suffer. we will approach these goals in three ways. Number one, we will study what the Bible teaches about suffering. Number two, we will look at believers throughout church history who have faced suffering. Number three, we will find practical tools to help believers in difficult times. Why do we suffer? If you ask a Muslim why people suffer, he might answer, "We suffer because Allah wills it. Allah is sovereign, and we must submit without question." If you ask a Buddhist, she might respond, "We suffer because of our desires. If you have no desire, you do not suffer." If you ask a Hindu, the answer might be, "We suffer because of our wrongdoing in a past life." None of these answers are satisfactory to the believer. We believe God is all-loving, so we cannot say God wills suffering and His reasons do not matter. We believe that sin brought suffering to everyone, so we cannot escape suffering simply by giving up desires. We do not believe in reincarnation, so we know that suffering is not the result of our actions in a previous life. Even in the Bible, some people gave wrong explanations for suffering. Job's friends said God was judging Job for his sin. But God told Satan that Job was a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil, Job 1:8. When they met a man born blind, the disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." John 9:2-3. When the Corinthian believers saw Paul's weakness and suffering, they thought it showed his lack of faith. But Paul suffered so that God's power would shine through his weakness, 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. These examples from Scripture teach us that no single answer explains all suffering. As believers, we must be humble in our search for answers. We must not assume that we have the answer for the suffering of other people. This course will show that there are many reasons for suffering. How do believers respond to suffering? Believers ask, "Why do we suffer?" But more importantly, we must ask, "How will we respond to our suffering?" If we believe God is sovereign, we should handle suffering differently than unbelievers. Our beliefs about God and the Christian life will shape our response to suffering. For the believer, the question, "What is God accomplishing through my suffering?" is more important than "Why am I suffering?" Kenneth Boa wrote that suffering always changes us. The person we were before our suffering is never who we are after suffering. Suffering can either make us bitter or make us better. An old proverb says, "The sun that softens wax also hardens clay." This is because the substances respond to sunshine in different ways. Similarly, our response to suffering determines whether it hardens our heart or makes us more like Christ. Tendencies to overcome. Simone Weil described 5 dangers that come with deep affliction. As believers, we must respond to them in healthy ways. Isolation. Suffering can make us feel cut off from those who have not experienced the same pain. A widow may feel isolated from her happily married friends. Parents who have lost a child may hurt when friends talk about their children's achievements in school. People sometimes avoid visiting a friend who is dying because they do not know what to say. To fight isolation, we must remember our need for community. As believers, we are part of the body of Christ. In times of suffering, we need other believers. Self-absorption. Intense physical or emotional pain can capture our attention so much that nothing matters to us except the immediate pain. Pain may cause us to lose a sense of God's presence. Like Job, we may feel that God is absent. To fight self-absorption, we must focus our attention on something beyond our immediate situation. Suffering must remind us to rely on God. Hopelessness and condemnation. Long-term suffering can tempt us to lose hope. Especially if we are suffering the results of our own wrongdoing, we may feel guilt and self-condemnation. We may think that God's judgment will never end. To fight hopelessness and condemnation, we must remember God's great grace. Regardless of the reason for our suffering, God's grace is always available to His children. Even if the suffering is caused by our own failure, we can cry out to God for mercy. Psalm 51. Anger. When we suffer because of what others have done to us, we are susceptible to anger. We may be tempted to seek revenge on those who caused our suffering. To fight anger, we must choose to forgive the wrongdoer. This is not merely an emotional response. It is a deep determination that we will not pursue vengeance. Genesis 50, 19-21. Temptation. Suffering sometimes makes us more vulnerable to temptation. Physical or emotional pain may become an excuse for behaviors and attitudes that we would not otherwise justify. To fight increased temptation, we must maintain regular patterns of prayer, fasting, Bible reading, meditation, and other spiritual disciplines that guard our hearts and minds. We must not allow ourselves to become spiritually lazy in the face of physical suffering. Right responses to suffering. How do we respond to suffering as believers? Scripture gives many examples of how the people of God face suffering. Faithful believers responded to suffering in different ways. Job questioned God and even felt God was treating him like an enemy. Job 16:11-14. But Job did not abandon God. James later pointed to Job as an example of perseverance. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job. James 5:11. To be steadfast does not mean that Job accepted suffering without questions. It means that Job did not abandon God even when he did not understand what God was doing. Though he slay me, I will hope in him, yet I will argue my ways to his face. Job 13:15. Job remained committed to God even when he did not understand. Paul endured much suffering during his ministry. Writing to a church that expected church leaders to prosper, the apostle said, "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." 2 Corinthians 11:30. Later he wrote, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." 2 Corinthians 12:10. Paul glorified God in his suffering. To glorify God in suffering means to honor Him through the things we suffer. After Jewish leaders beat them, the apostles rejoiced that God counted them worthy to suffer. Acts 5:41. Just as there are many reasons for suffering, there are many ways to respond. Our response to suffering is shaped by our experiences, spiritual maturity, and theological beliefs. We should respond in ways that show our commitment to God and our trust in His purpose in our life. Beliefs that make suffering more difficult. There are some things that make suffering more difficult. Poor theology. Read Job 4:7-9. Job's friends believed that all suffering is the result of our personal sin. Because their theology denied the possibility of innocent suffering, they could not believe that Job was innocent. If you believe that all suffering is punishment from God, you will be tempted to condemn those who suffer. If you forget God's mercy, you will struggle to trust His grace in times of suffering. You may think, "I deserve this punishment, so I must face it alone." But if your theology reminds you that God's grace is available in every situation, you will gain strength to face suffering. Examples from real life. Pastor Dominic taught that God always blesses His people with financial prosperity and physical health. When a fire destroyed Dominic's home, church members said that God was punishing their pastor for hidden sin. Dominic began to doubt God's goodness. He thought, "I have tried to serve God faithfully. Why is God punishing me?" Dominic's beliefs added spiritual despair to his financial loss. Compare Dominic's story with a different way of thinking. Pastor Juan had studied Job, Jeremiah, and the letters of Paul. When a hurricane destroyed Juan's home, he told his church members, "Job was righteous when he was wealthy, but he was also righteous when he lost everything." Jeremiah was a faithful prophet, but he suffered throughout his life. Paul rejoiced in weakness so that he could demonstrate the power of God. "I do not know why God allowed this tragedy, but I will serve God from a heart of love, not to gain prosperity." Pastor Juan faced his loss with hope because he had a right theology of suffering. Unrealistic expectations. Some Christians believe their faith will protect them from all trouble. If you believe that God protects His children from all suffering, you may doubt God in times of trouble. Read Romans 8:22-23. Paul did not say sinners live in a world that groans with pains, but believers live in a world without suffering. Instead, he taught that even Spirit-filled believers live in a world that is groaning with pain. Even believers suffer while we wait for the day when our bodies are redeemed. In this world, believers face many of the same hurts that unbelievers suffer. If you believe that God will protect believers from persecution, you will be disappointed in God when persecution comes. However, if you know Jesus' words to His disciples, you can count yourself blessed in times of persecution. "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." Matthew 5:11. If you have unrealistic expectations, you will be disappointed when God allows you to suffer. But if you know that even believers can expect suffering, you will be better prepared to face the difficulties of life. Examples from real life. Margaret's teenage daughter was sexually molested by a neighbor. Margaret feels guilty because she failed to protect her daughter. She feels angry at God for allowing her daughter to suffer. She feels shame in the face of the community. And she even blames her daughter when she thinks, "Maybe my daughter did something to deserve this." Because of unrealistic expectations about life in a fallen world, Margaret doubts God's goodness and cannot comfort her daughter. Compare Margaret's story with a different way of thinking. After Carol's daughter was sexually molested by a relative, a Christian counselor said, "You are not to blame for this man's terrible sin. God is not to blame for this man's refusal to obey God's commands. You do not need to feel shame. You are innocent of any wrongdoing." Carol finds comfort in the stories of Bathsheba, 2 Samuel 11, and Tamar, Genesis 38. She remembers that these women were the victims of men's sin, but that God honored them by including them in the genealogy of Jesus, Matthew 1, 3, and 6. Instead of shame, Carol entrusts her daughter's honor to God. Excessive self-reliance. In good times, we may be tempted to rely on our own abilities. When we are strong and can work to provide for our families, we may feel that our future is secure. But illness or the loss of our job shows that we are completely dependent on God. If we rely on our own abilities and resources, we will become discouraged when we cannot support ourselves. Suffering humbles us and reminds us that God is in control. Examples from real life. At the age of 53, Ivan had a stroke and became paralyzed. Ivan struggles to accept that he must rely on other people to care for his basic needs. He feels shame because he cannot provide for his family. Along with physical suffering, Ivan suffers emotionally because he wants to rely on his own abilities. Compare Ivan's story with a different way of thinking. At the age of 56, Klaus was paralyzed in an automobile accident. Although Klaus regrets his weakness, he often quotes Paul's words, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." 2 Corinthians 12:9. Klaus suffers the same physical limitations as Ivan, but he enjoys better emotional and spiritual health because he sees his inabilities from a biblical perspective. Conclusion. How we view our suffering affects our ability to endure and even grow from it. As you study this course, pray that God will give you the right perspective on suffering. Suffering and the Biblical Story. An overview of the Bible's teaching on suffering includes answers to four questions. What was God's plan for our world? What is wrong with our world? How did God respond to our fallen world? When will the world be fixed? What was God's plan for our world? Creation. When someone asks, why does God allow suffering in the world? Our answer should start with Genesis 1. On each day of creation, God saw that what He had made was good. Genesis 1:4, 10, 12, 18, 21, and 25. At the end of creation week, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Genesis 1:31. Genesis 2 shows the joy of life in the perfect world God created. Because there was no sin, there was no guilt or shame. God created a world without pain, disease, or death. Our world of suffering is not what God first created. What is wrong with our world? The fall. What brought pain and suffering into God's perfect creation? The answer is found in Genesis 3. When Adam sinned, everything changed. Because of sin, we suffer shame, Genesis 3:7. Because of sin, we suffer guilt and separation from God, Genesis 3:8-10. Because of sin, women suffer pain in childbirth, and people find work difficult, Genesis 3:16-19. Worst of all, because of sin, we were banished from God's presence, Genesis 3:22-24. The words, God saw that it was good, sum up the creation story in Genesis 1. But after Adam's sin, another recurring phrase appears. In Genesis 5, we read the phrase, and he died, and he died, and he died. 8 times in this chapter, we see death as a result of the fall. Even nature suffers the results of the fall. God announced to Adam, cursed is the ground because of you, Genesis 3:17. Paul wrote, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, Romans 8:22. To understand suffering, we must recognize that pain and death entered our world because of sin. Sin has corrupted God's good creation. How did God respond to our fallen world? Redemption. The Bible shows what went wrong with God's good creation, but it also shows how God is redeeming our world. God did not leave us alone in our broken world. Instead, He provided a path for redemption. God's redemptive plan began with His words to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel, Genesis 3:15. The Old Testament sacrifices pointed toward God's ultimate plan for redeeming our world, the sacrifice of His own Son. Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53:3. The Son of God would share in the suffering brought by our sin. Jesus suffered as we suffer. He was tempted as we are tempted. He faced rejection by His family. He suffered hunger and homelessness. He was misunderstood by His followers. He was betrayed by one of His close followers and was denied by a member of His inner circle. On the cross, He suffered physical agony. He endured the shame of public nakedness and ridicule. And He underwent the emotional trauma of knowing that His mother must watch her son die this terrible death. Even though He had never sinned, Jesus suffered pain and agony. Facing the cross, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death and he was heard because of his reverence. Hebrews 5:7. Think of it. Jesus cried to his Father, who was able to save him from death. Jesus' prayers were heard, but he was not spared the sufferings of the cross. Instead, his prayers were answered 3 days later when he was raised from the grave. The Father allowed his only begotten Son to suffer the penalty for our sin. When someone asks, "What is God doing about suffering?" we must remember that God joined in our suffering through his Son. On the cross, the Son of God paid the ultimate price for our sin. When will the world be fixed? New creation. Satan won a great victory when Adam and Eve yielded to temptation. The serpent corrupted God's perfect creation. However, Satan's victory was not final. Isaiah saw new heavens and a new earth, where the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. Isaiah 65:17. Paul wrote of a day when the entire creation will be set free from its bondage to corruption. Romans 8:21. The Apostle John saw the glory of a new earth without tears, death, mourning, crying, or pain. Revelation 21:4. When someone asks, "What is God doing about suffering?" we can point to the promise that God will defeat Satan forever. In the new creation, we will enjoy a world without suffering. God's people will live in the perfect world that God planned. This is the believer's great hope. Corey's story. Why is a right theology of suffering important? When we understand suffering through a biblical point of view, we can face suffering with hope and trust. Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy were Dutch believers who hid Jews from the Nazis during World War II. Eventually, they were caught and taken to the Ravensbrück concentration camp. Betsy died there, but Corrie survived and wrote a book, The Hiding Place. One of her stories shows how she learned to praise God in difficult circumstances. At Ravensbrück, the ladies were assigned to Barracks 28. When they found their bed, it was crawling with fleas. Corrie complained to her sister, "How can we live in such a place?" Betsy replied with a verse from Paul, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Corrie responded, "Oh, Betsy, that's too hard in a place like this." But Betsy insisted, "Let's try. What are we thankful for?" "Well, I'm thankful that we're together." "And that the guards didn't find the Bible you had hanging down your back," added Betsy. Corrie nodded gratefully. "Maybe we should thank God for how crowded we are in here, because that way more women will hear the Word of God when we read it aloud." Then Betsy's eyes danced. "And thank you, God, for the fleas." Corrie objected. "No, Betsy, I can't thank God for the fleas. There's nothing good about them." Betsy answered, "We will have to wait and see." Every day the prisoners were awakened at 4:30 a.m. and forced to stand outside in the cold for roll call. Then they worked an 11-hour day. They were given black bread for breakfast and a thin soup of turnips for supper. Before they went to sleep each night, Betsy and Corrie would open their smuggled Bible and read God's Word to the other women. At first, they posted lookouts to keep a watch for the guards. But day after day passed, and no guards came into Barracks 28. Soon they read the Bible twice a day. No one bothered them. One day, Betsy said, "I know why no one has bothered our Bible studies. I overheard some of the guards talking. None of them wants to come into Barracks 28 because of the fleas." Corrie wanted to laugh. "All right, Lord, thank you for the fleas." Witnessing a sovereign God accomplish his good purposes, even in terrible situations, taught Corrie ten Boom to be thankful in all things. A right theology of suffering helps us trust God's purposes even when we do not understand.